Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Okay, well, in a world that is less than perfect, there are countless opportunities to be misled. Advertising tells us so often that we need things that we really don't need. Hollywood can say that falling in love will solve everything. In the corporate world, it can almost feel sometimes like life is all about making money. That's all it is about. If we're not careful, though, we can find ourselves believing these tall tales and building our lives around them, even if we know in our minds that they're not quite right. Now, according to author and Christian counselor Neil Anderson, lies and deception are one of the big factors that can lead us into spiritual bondage, that can rob us of freedom. The good news is the simple truth can actually set us free. Neil is with us again. We've been doing this series on the seven steps to freedom. We're talking about step two tonight, deception versus truth and deciding which one you're going to choose. Hi, Neil.
Hey.
Let me just go through these seven steps so people can get them fresh in their mind. First step is counterfeit versus real. We talked about that last week, about counterfeit spiritual guidance and how damaging it can actually be, and then choosing instead God's guidance of us. Counterfeit versus real. Step two tonight is deception versus truth. In the following weeks, we'll talk about bitterness versus forgiveness, rebellion versus submission, pride versus humility, bondage versus freedom, and curses versus blessings. Now, I just mentioned a couple of things before about the way that we can be deceived. It might be advertising, or might be the corporate world, an extreme version of advertising, extreme version of the corporate world. How else do you see the world influencing us, deceiving us, primarily from the way that you've seen the effects in people who have come through your counseling practice?
Well, this particular issue or step doesn't, you know, at the moment resolve anything. This is more systemic. This is more like, I have believed this, and this is what I believe. I would believe I'd be successful if I lived this certain way. But the point of it is, there's no instant way to renew your mind, but you won't even start unless you know what you're believing right now isn't true. So we're not necessarily resolving something. Now, people are going to go through this step, and boy, they're going to walk out free. But what's going to happen is they're going to go through this process, and they're going to say, man, I used to walk this way, I'm walking this way now. What we're dealing with here in a lot of ways is flesh patterns. The theologian may call it that. The psychologist would probably call it defense mechanisms. It's mental strongholds. It's things that I've learned over the past. And there's three parts to this. The first, in what way have I been deceived by the world? I just watched television all my life, and I just believed all those kind of things, and I just accepted it and as truth. And then I suddenly realized one day, man, that's just really not true. And frankly, you can really deceive yourself. And self-deception, by the way, is probably one of the hardest things to get people out of because they don't see it.
Yeah.
If you knew you were deceived, then you're not deceived anymore.
Indeed. So what kind of things do we deceive ourselves with? Give us some practical, you know, examples.
Well, there's frankly, the seven that I have listed or so in the steps are right straight out of Scripture. Saying, I have no sin. If you say that, you deceive yourself. And so you're going to have a lot of people living in denial. They kind of go, well, I've never sinned. And they go, really? If I asked your wife, would she agree with you? Kind of thing. Probably the biggest one on this one is defense mechanisms. So by the way, I'm a Christian pastor. I do a lot of counseling issues and whatever and co-authored with counselors. But professionally, I'm a pastor. But if you're looking for a holistic answer, you have to understand psychology by definition is the study of the soul. And the Bible has a lot to say about the soul. And so we're always dealing with fear and anxiety and depression because that's just, unfortunately, it's part of life. But I'm convinced we got more than adequate answers for that. But defense mechanisms are so common, from denial to rationalization to lying, for instance. If you were young and you told the truth and you got beat up for it, what are you going to do? You're going to learn to lie or blame somebody else. And here's what's really interesting about this particular one. Almost every young person, I would say 30 and under, will check off three-fourths of these. And they're sobered by it. They're realizing, my gosh, I've checked off almost every one of these. And
when you say checked off, you mean like a checklist
give
them in the counseling?
Well, yeah, there's several things that just, have you ever, and so they go down, do you believe this, do you believe this, do you believe this, do you believe this? And they're the ones that I would suggest, when you're done, if you really are freaked out, and you'll know it, by the way, go back and look at those and ask yourself, what is it you really believe? Do you want to keep living that way? If people are believing a lie, they're living a lie. And young people are kind of smart on this one. They'll get to it. Well, gee, I'm doing it, so I guess I believe it. Exactly.
Yeah, so just give me some phrases that people, some of those things on your checklist that people might tick off. What kind of beliefs?
Oh, believing that sex will make me happy, that if everybody approved of me, I would be satisfied. Uh-huh. And but it's issues that we all live with. I mean, it's where we live. I remember a church near me, this famous rock star, probably everybody listening has heard of this guy, has gone into rehab 18 times, and they said, help him through the initial phase, and we'll disciple him afterwards. And when he came out, my wife helped her, and I helped him, and oh my gosh, these people get sex thrown at them and drugs, and you can't believe it. Mm. And so what an unbelievable mess. But, I mean, he was just going down this thing, just checking off everything. And I wasn't pointing out any sin in his life. I don't have to do that. But we started to look back over the list, and he said, no wonder I haven't been doing well.
Yeah,
you don't
yeah.
even have to say anything. He realizes it himself that, you know, I have been really living wrong, and now I'm suffering the consequences for it.
Hmm.
And here's a case where he wanted to get on the right path again. But defense mechanisms are very, very common, and they can take on an infinite variety. But what I love about this process is where some psychologist or counselor may work months to try to determine them, this person will sit right in front of me, ask God to show them, and they'll start checking each one off.
Interesting.
It is very interesting.
Yeah,
And I've had pastors and counselors and missionaries over the years, you know, bringing people they've worked with for months. And I'll sit down, take half an hour, 45 minutes to hear the story, and ask them if they'd like to resolve it. And then we sit down. Now, here, it isn't what I do. It's what you do that counts, and I'm going to help you.
Mm.
And they pray, and God shows them, and they check all this stuff off. And then people who brought them in say, I've worked with this person for months. I've never heard half of this before. You're a wonderful counselor. No, it has nothing to do with me. I am not the wonderful counselor. God himself is.
Yeah.
Only one who can set that person free and bind up that broken heart is God himself. And so I got to learn to get out of the way and then let God do it. And frankly, some of the most ugly stuff comes up, and at the end they can't stop thanking me for it.
Mm.
I said, is that fun or what?
Very interesting. This is Open House Across the Nation. We're talking about finding spiritual freedom. Neil Anderson is the author of a number of well-known books in this whole field, The Bondage Breaker, Victory Over the Darkness, and things like that. So, Neil, take me on then with that work that you did with that rock star. Okay, so you sat down, you prayed. He said yes. Okay, you had a checklist there in front of him about some of these false beliefs that he was holding in his mind. He was checking them off, etc., realizing, wow, here are all these things that I'm holding, that I'm believing, they're affecting the way that I live. Then what did you do next? What are the processes after that?
Well, when he actually got through it, he could tell the difference. In fact, 2 weeks later, he called me and said, can we get together? I just got to tell you all the things that's going on in our lives right now. And we got together again. It was kind of funny, however. He said, you know what they're giving me down there? They're giving me baby Jesus. He said, but those are the people who are going to do the follow-up discipling.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's what, but he said, you met with us right where we were at. You dealt with all the core issues in our life. And that really wasn't me. It was God. I didn't know this guy from Adam when he walked in the door. And I just sat there like a facilitator of a process and had him pray, explain the process, and up come the stuff, and he sat there and checked off all the issues.
Mm.
Now, we'll get to a step later on that deals with sexual issues, and that was probably one of his biggest ones.
Mm.
And then he would just close it off to say, Lord, I renounce that as mm-hmm. a lie. It's not true. And
each individual and so, belief, I renounce that, God,
everyone.
I renounce that.
Mm. And now, where does that come from? So it sounds like it's churchese or something like that. It's, you know, you can use another word for it. The point of it is, I believe this. I no longer believe it. However you want to say that. I found it just very easy for people to make a definitive statement. Gee, that's a lie. I renounce that. I choose the truth. See, unfortunately, people come to Christ. They look at it like addition. I just added Jesus onto my life.
Mm.
It's not. It's transformation. But to experience that, you've been transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. You're no longer in Adam. You're in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. But the point of it is, if you see this as addition, then you're going to believe what you always believed before and start to believe some new things. Well, that's why repentance is so important. Because if you've been living a lie, if you want to be free from the past, you're going to have to come to terms with that somewhere and say, that's a lie. I don't believe that anymore.
Mm.
And a lot of this stuff, Frank, we just pick up from our families. You know, I remember my dad telling me one time, well, I guess if you got to marry, you may as well marry somebody rich. You know, even at that time I realized, What a bunch of junk that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, also, do you deal in this step with deception about God, or, you know, false ideas about God here?
Yeah, there is an exercise that follows after this thing, because thoughts have been raised up against the knowledge of God. That's part of the mental strongholds in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 and 4 and 5. And so there's an exercise there. It's kind of a fun thing for a lot of people. They just go down a list. I renounce the lie that God is this and this and this. I choose to believe that God is this and this and this. Now, if I got a couple minutes here, this is worth telling. How does the secular world look at mental health? Well, you're mentally healthy if you're in touch with reality, relatively free of anxiety. Okay, let's accept that for a moment. In touch with reality. Well, who's the ultimate reality? Everything else is a creation. The ultimate reality is God. And relatively free of anxiety, anybody caught in a spiritual battle, I promise you, fear is going to be their major struggle and anxiety. And I said, how would I define mental health then from a Christian perspective? A true knowledge of God, a true knowledge of who you are as a child of God. If you knew that God loved you, that he was all-powerful, had gone before you, prepared a place for you, that your life is filled with love and joy and peace, and there's a peace of God passing all the time, God in your heart and your mind, would you be mentally healthy? Absolutely. But let me quickly add, what would be mental illness from a Christian perspective? A distorted concept of God and a distorted concept of who you are. Now, if you don't think that's true, go into some psych ward someplace, you're going to meet some of the most religious people you've met. But you start asking them what their belief is about God and themselves, it's all distorted. And secular people see that, what do they conclude about religion? It's damaging. In that sense, they're right. But what's damaging is the false belief. This is a very serious step for a lot of people because it really does reveal what it is they believe. And if you're saved by faith and sanctified by faith and you walk by faith, then what you believe is rather critical, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's a very important step, just working out what you actually believe and just how off the mark it normally is. And there are so many of these beliefs that we actually hold in our minds and our hearts without even realizing it. They're actually such a part of our upbringing. We don't even realize we have them there, but they actually still direct us in terms of our behavior and our emotional responses to things.
Even the secular world sees this, by the way. I mean, you know, we may have a different set of beliefs, but the point of it is they realize that what people are believing is causing them to live poorly. And that's the basis for cognitive therapy, which is well-entrenched, secular and sacred. I said, so this is not getting, you know, outside the realm of good mental health reasoning. But truth of it is, we don't know what it is we believe sometimes. Nobody's told us differently. And we just bought what somebody else told us and believed it, and we live accordingly. And then one day you realize, man, I've been duped. And so if I'm saved by faith and walk by faith, then what I believe is critical.
Yes.
And we need to know what it is that I'm believing that's taken me down a wrong path.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, Neil, we'll head on to step number three about forgiveness this time next week. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Neil Anderson, he's the founder of Freedom in Christ Ministries. A couple of websites for you if you'd like to find a little bit more. FICMInternational.org, Freedom in Christ Ministries, FICMInternational.org. You'll find some further teaching from Neil there, or FICM.org for general information. Those seven steps again, counterfeit versus real, choosing between counterfeit versus real, deception versus truth. Next week we'll do bitterness versus forgiveness. The fourth one is rebellion versus submission, pride versus humility, bondage versus freedom, and curses versus blessings. We'll continue the series next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.